Well, welcome to the local spotlight show from WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. Today, I have a couple friends of mine, two brothers. I met the first brother 2 years ago, I think?
About two and a half years ago.
Rodrigo Camacaro.
That's right.
And Rodrigo came to the United States a few years prior, and he is a citizen of the United States. He came from Venezuela, and then he brought his mother and father over and with visas, and they became citizens, and we have apartments and rentals, and we rented his mother and father an apartment, and Rodrigo basically interpreted for them. Great people, love them, and they were with us, rented from us for several years. And then Rodrigo contacted actually my wife Brenda in maybe September of 2022, and wanted to know if he was wanting to bring his three brothers over, Ronnie, Miguel, and Luis, bring them over, and he needed a place for them to stay and needed work. He had some work visas, I think. Was that it? Work visas?
It was a humanitarian visa.
Okay. Okay. And he needed, you know, the key things were they needed work and they needed a place to stay. And Brenda asked me about it. I said, yeah, I got both covered because I got work and I got a place to stay. So in about a month, he was able to get the paperwork done. And I soon met Luis and Miguel and Ronnie. Now, I have Ronnie and Miguel with me today. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you so much. And I'm Rodrigo.
Yes, this is Rodrigo and Miguel. You want to say hi, Miguel?
Hello.
Miguel didn't know much English at all back when he came in 22, yeah, but he's picking up. He's learning.
Yeah, I can speak a little bit English. It's not good, but I tried.
Yeah, you've done really well. Light years away from it. And the one thing I like that I want to make clear is all of us here in this room, with the Camacaro brothers and myself, we are not for illegal immigration, but we are for legal immigration. And these guys all did it the right way, the legal
way.
That's
right.
And they found their way to Jerseyville. And I think what I want to do at this spotlight show is hear their story about Venezuela and coming to America, and how great it is, how they love it. I'll start with you, Rodrigo.
Yes, sir.
So how did you come to America? What was your story? How did you make it here?
So I came to America around 2006. I first learned English in 2004, and I was translated for missionaries that went there. And that's how the way that I met my wife. And
so you met her in Venezuela?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that till right now.
That's cool. I met her there, but it was just work. I was just translating. But we became really good friends, kept contact, emails, and then I got the opportunity to came to the United States through tourist visa.
Yes.
And I came without thinking that this will be the place where I'm living now. So
you came as a tourist?
A tourist, yeah. And I came to visit her because I came to Orlando, but I came to visit her a couple times. I met her parents. We became really good friends, and then we decided that we like each other.
Yeah.
And 2007 we married, and it's been like 18 years. And well, with two kids now.
Yeah.
And so I came in a different, you know, for different reasons that many people come nowadays.
Now, I know Venezuela now is in bad shape, you know. But what was it like when you left in 2006? What was going on in Venezuela?
So socialism started invading Venezuela through Hugo Chavez, and he was promoting socialism hard there, confusing people. People were uneducated. A lot of people were uneducated and wasn't understanding what socialism meant. So the situation in Venezuela wasn't as bad as it is today, but it was getting bad because it was getting introduced to, indoctrinated to socialism.
Tell the listeners what Hugo Chavez did to bring in socialism. What was he doing?
Yes, sir. He was giving people houses. He was giving people money. He was giving food. So he was giving people, the poor people, because, you know, in Venezuela, there's just the rich and the poor.
Even and back then, was rich and poor?
Rich and poor, yes. So the majority were poor. So they were giving away stuff, or he was giving away stuff. And also, not everything was bad at the time, because he was giving work for people, but it was with another intention, to just introduce socialism to them and confuse them, pretty much.
And in 1999, this is a fact, Venezuela was the third largest oil producer and had third largest reserves in the world,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, and
so it was a rich country.
It was a rich country. People live well, even the poor people, you know, they didn't know any better, you know, but they were able to provide for their families and just live, you know, there without, make a living. They were able to make a living, and not anymore, unfortunately, since the socialism was, you know, part of Venezuela now. So
you came over when it wasn't too bad, you know, and then
that's right.
And then once you got over here, did you ever go back to Venezuela?
I did. I went back in 2010 to visit my mom and dad. At that time, they were there, and my brothers also. And it was, you know, a long time without, I think it was
2005?
Yeah. No, 2010. It 2010? Was like 5 years or so, oh, okay, that I hadn't seen him. So I went there and, you know, we would visit. It was pretty hard at that time, but the situation wasn't as bad because you were able to buy food, but everything was so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything was extremely expensive.
Okay. So you were working on a way to get your mom and dad to America.
Yes. My mom and dad, they weren't thinking about moving here just because they all their lives have lived there. So they didn't know English, and they're working on English right now. But it didn't even cross their mind. I thought about them, and I told them, you know, introduced the idea for them to maybe move. But they say, let's just wait. Everything's going to get better. You know, you hope that, you know, the situation was going to get better.
I want to ask Miguel a question, yes, and you can help interpret him if he needs help. But at that time, were you thinking about wanting to come to America in 2005, 2006? Or were you happy with where you were in Venezuela?
Dice que sí, nos pensábamos mudar en ese tiempo.
Sí, sí te pensaba. Sí.
No, la verdad, no, nunca me había pasado por la cabeza mudarme de Venezuela, ya que en ese tiempo se vivía relativamente bien. Claro, el país, es nuestro país.
So at that time, it didn't cross my mind to move to another country, because even though it was hard, still we were able to make it. Made it at that time.
And you probably didn't know, is it going to be any better where I'm going, or should I just stay where I'm at? But
en ese tiempo no sabías.
No.
¿Qué es lo que estaba pasando exactamente?
No sabía lo que estaba por venir. Lamentablemente, nuestro país ha llegado a una situación precaria, y mucha gente ha tomado la decisión de salir.
Yeah, at that time, I didn't know how bad it was going to get, and unfortunately, the country just got worse.
Yeah. And then in September or so, you know, when you contacted me and you were able to get your brothers over on a, what kind of a visa did you get them on?
So they call humanitarian parole.
Humanitarian parole.
Yes, just because the situation of Venezuela and how people had been persecuted for not thinking or agreeing with the government, they agreed to, or the United States agreed to give parole, like the Ukrainians, to Venezuelans as well. So we were able, or I was able, me and my dad were able to apply for humanitarian parole for the three of them. And that was in October 2022. And thankfully, they were approved a month later, almost a month. And they were able to receive a travel permit to come to the U.S.
For 2 years?
2 years, yeah, right. 2 years. And supposedly, it's going to be able to renew. We don't know that yet, but they are able to stay here legally, have a work permit. We apply for it, of course, and live here, you know, without any problem.
One thing I would like you to explain is how bad it was for your brothers living there. I know I had mm-hmm. heard stories from Miguel and Luis about how the police would just come in and take whatever they wanted, yes. Do whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that?
Of course, yes. So it was about 2018 when I was talking to mom over the phone, and she wanted to keep everything hidden because she was worried that I was going to get worried about them too much, because I was trying to help them all the time. But there was at that time where everything was declining so bad that they were able to just eat once a day.
Once a day.
Once a day, yes. And then I heard from, I think, my brothers that they said mom just fainted.
Oh.
They explained it to me. She was malnourished.
Yeah.
So,
because there wasn't any work.
Exactly.
And you couldn't buy any food.
Exactly. You know, people had the money, and they couldn't buy food because it was so high, the amount of money that any product cost, that it was just crazy. People just decided to just throw money away because they said, this is no worth. People just work for food.
Were they just printing up a bunch of money?
Yes. Yes.
Miguel, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Everybody had money, but we had nothing to buy in the stores.
And I think I remember you telling me something to the effect, Miguel, that you could work all day and it might cost you more to go to work.
Yes.
Yeah, and how is that? Can you explain that?
Survive.
Yeah.
We just survive.
Yes. A lot of people, they decided to just work in their land. Work their land, plant the garden to be able to eat. That was so bad. Yes, mm-hmm. It was so bad that people were stealing from their gardens, the other neighbors' garden, because they, they were just desperate times.
Okay, and you're saying the reason this came on because it was such a rich country. What happened to all the oil that you had? You know, they still got oil, don't they?
Descuidaron tanto la industria petrolera que al punto de ya no poder producir suficiente ni siquiera para el mismo país.
They didn't do maintenance on the oil refinery company.
Okay.
And everything was just deteriorating. And what they had, they were able to produce, they were just selling, and just the politics were getting rich.
Just the politicians. From
yeah.
Only from the politicians.
From selling the oil. All the politicians and the ones that were, you know, in power at that time.
You had to be government connected in order to mm-hmm. survive.
Yes, sir.
And everybody else were peasants.
Yes. My brother was telling me that there's politicians that have different kind of mansions in different states.
Different mansions in different states.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. If you're just joining us, I have Rodrigo Camacaro and Miguel Camacaro, who came from Venezuela. I've known them for a year and a half now. Rodrigo longer than that. And they're just telling their story about coming from Venezuela legally and how much they like in America. How is it here? Now that you're here, what are you thinking?
I got to say, we're blessed to be in America. And I love this country. I love this town. And my brother can say his own opinion.
Claro, es una gran diferencia uno estar aquí, llegar a un país donde todo funciona, donde trabajando con trabajo honesto, tú puedes tener lo que necesitas para vivir y hasta ahorrar algo de dinero.
It's just so much different. It's like you can work and actually make a living in this country, and it is an awesome country that you can actually live. And I, you know, I've been living here for 18 years, and I'm proud to be, you know, a United States citizen. And this is a blessed country.
And you work, do you work in North St. Louis?
Yes.
For school?
Yes, I work in the Ferguson School District as a custodian. Uh-huh. And I also do a side job as an immigration form preparer to help people get legal, get okay. the work permits, and... of course, through the United States immigration.
I want to tell a little bit of a story about the brothers. I like calling them the brothers because when I had them come over and I introduced them to work, and I had a building that I was next door to George's that I was wanting to restore. And they end up in about a half a day. I brought my old mason over because I'd been out of the construction business, and he taught the fellas how to grind out and how to tuck point in just about a half a day. And after that, they did the whole building. I mean, and it was big, and they were great. They had great workers, and you could just show them something, and they would get after it.
That would do it. Yes.
There was two important words though. That I had to learn. I only needed two words, right? Right, Miguel? Yeah. Bueno and no bueno. Because sometimes I'll be going, whoa, 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 no bueno, no bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno. No bueno. And they go, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah. So sometimes there was some miscommunication yes. here and there, but yeah. Eventually we always got the jobs done, didn't we? The funniest thing, though, is remember when I was teaching you about grass, right? And what did you tell me when we were getting ready to mow some grass? What did you tell me, Miguel?
Yeah, I guess allá en Venezuela yo he visto que solo la gente con dinero, los ricos tenían grama en su casa.
He said that only rich people in Venezuela had grass.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a clue about how to mow.
No.
Well, and actually... the first time you drove a vehicle, drove my truck, right, Miguel?
Uh-huh.
I let you drive yes. my truck. And Miguel kind of reminded me of like maybe, you know, maybe a 10-year-old. He never drove a truck before. You know?
Right, right.
I said, yeah. Easy, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Yes.
But now you got your license, right?
Yes.
Yes, three of you got your license. And
yes, sir.
You're driving and yes. working every day
yes.
and...
Yes, we are drivers now.
Yeah. And so I know you're working, Vanilla, or where else are you working at, Miguel? I know you're working at George's.
Yes. I'm working at George's and at a barbecue restaurant.
Uh-huh.
That is good people. Yeah, it's a good job. Work.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, we're blessed to live in this town because people have opened the doors for us, you know, for immigrants and you know, to be able to make a living
yeah.
here. And they're blessed to have people like you, that you open the door for them, you know, give them jobs and like Steve Helfer and, you know, the Steve O Barbecue, that where he works at also. And people that had welcomed them and make him almost, I would say, part of their family.
Yeah. Well, they're, I mean, you know, they are very lovable. I mean, it's easy to love the brothers,
oh,
you know, that's for sure. But have you felt any negative vibes? Have you had people, because of all this illegal immigration going on, have you, both of you, have you felt any of that, you know? Or what's your reaction to that?
Well, for me, not much, thankfully.
Not much.
Yeah, just, you know, you always find somebody that, you know, will look at you different. But for the most part, I have never felt, you know, discriminated.
Yes, okay.
Or, yeah, or look, like, down. Él pregunta si ha sentido discriminación, que personas no te ven con mal, no bien.
Prácticamente no. En cierta manera veo entendible que la gente esté prevenida de que ver gente que no es de este país, de no saber su estatus legal.
What do you say?
So not too much. He said, I understand that people are, you know, some standoffish because they see people, you know, from other country and don't know who they are. But not so much in this discrimination that have felt from people, especially in this town.
Is there a chance? What's going on? What are the chances that... I know you're a citizen and your parents are citizens. What are the chances of your brothers becoming citizens in the United States?
So we're working on it. My parents are actually permanent residents, going to be citizens soon. Through a family relative visa, they're able to get a permanent residency. But it can take up to 13 years, so it's a long process. So right now, they are just with a temporary protected status, which is the U.S. government offering to Venezuelans, and they're able to stay here until that expires legally, and then if they get renewed, they'll be able to renew it. So
we're just about out of time, okay? And what do you say to the citizen or American citizens around here and everywhere about America? What do they need to know as far as maybe how lucky they are? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, you said something very important. We are here lucky, especially people that are born here. This is a blessed country. I see it, you know, coming from a third world country, how you can make a living here and be successful here. We're thankful for people that open doors for immigrants. And, you know, as we know the story of the United States, you know, people came from different parts of the world to make this country so successful. And I would say keep just being opening to those that come here legally and to work and to make this country, you know, an awesome country. Like it is, like it still is, and we pray for it that like it continue being like that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate you, and the best of luck to you. And you know, if I can do anything for you, you know, I'm there for you.
Thanks.
Thanks everybody for listening today to the Spotlight Show. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.